Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. We are live on STB Radio and joining me, Kerry Waller from South Australia, and being able to get back on to us after some pretty wild weather up in southeast Queensland, we've got Jacinta Govind. Guys, it's great to have you here as we're sitting here having a chat about the pregame. But before we sort of get into it, Jacinta, how are you guys going up there? Okay, we've had a bit of a technical glitch, but now hopefully everything is back on deck. Let's just talk about this game too. First of all, Jacinta, how are you seeing this one?
Well, honestly, I think what we were talking about before we jumped on air, just the context surrounding this game, that it is Townsville at home to a sold-out crowd. We've spoken a lot in the past on this podcast, especially about how valuable a home court advantage is, but especially Townsville, giving it is a community-owned team. I think I can be confident in thinking as well that Shannon has gone away from that last game and probably tried to put in some more wrinkles and tweaks into their existing offenses to make sure that they are a little bit more productive. So I think it's going to be really close. I think it'll still go down to the wire, but I think Townsville with their home court advantage are going to win this one.
And Kerry, how are you seeing this one?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with Jacinta. I think that it's not only a sold out crowd, it's like a record breaking 5,400 crowd that's going to be there. And as Jacinta said, community owned team. So the pride and the passion and all that sort of stuff, and being finals basketball, it's just completely different, isn't it? So, yeah, I think I have to go with Townsville for this one. But again, Bendigo are so experienced and star studded that it'll definitely be a close one.
And one of the things that really got me was in the run-up to this final series, I was a little bit surprised by how the semis actually ran out as we got into it. You know, I think everybody was expecting the Townsville-Perth series to be a lot closer than it ended up being. I know I was saying that it was going to go to three, and I was way wrong. I think everybody may have been really surprised by the way the Flames had actually pushed Bendigo. And, you know, we were talking before we came online, as Jacinta said, you know, they had nothing to lose, so they threw everything at them. But it probably surprised people that it wasn't as big a score differential across the two games for the Flames-Bendigo series. Do you think that those sorts of results may have actually sort of affected the way those teams were approaching their games against each other?
Oh, I personally don't think so. No, I think Coach Kariyama and Coach Seabom are smart enough to be playing chess, you know, so many moves ahead. Obviously still focusing one game at a time when it came to the semi-final series, but also knowing they had a plan up their sleeve, thinking that when they met each other in the grand final, they kind of knew what they were going to stick with. Maybe those semi-finals as well, maybe it was an opportunity for Bendigo to try some different stuff out against the Flames, especially once they had a comfortable lead, and that could be real game-time preparation for these grand finals against Townsville. But, you know, even when we spoke to Tolo and Sammy Wickham, at the WNBL Awards, they still very much had that one game at a time mentality. So I think the real prep for the grand final only happened once the semifinals were cemented.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with Paul, though. I think the Flames were outstanding, which I guess is to be expected, again, when you're in that position where they also had nothing to lose. But they didn't leave anything out on the floor. If it wasn't for injuries, I think they could have pushed them even further in the end. But, yeah, I just think Townsville came in, their game came together at the right time. Obviously, adding Nia Coffey partway through the season. I've got a little story to tell you guys later about that. I think it was round seven, or it was their seventh win in a row here in Adelaide. And I got to talk to Shannon Seabom and Lauren Cox after the game. So I've got a little bit of insight there as well. I think they just hit their straps at the right time of the season, and their game came together, and they sort of haven't looked back since then.
All right, each of you, who do you think are going to be the key players and the key matchups in this game today?
I would say I think The obvious, apart from the obvious from each team, I'd be really keen to see if Veronica Burton can go back to back with the big numbers she had in grand final number one. I'm going to be keeping an eye on her. You know, I think like she kind of really took over, which we're having that 24 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. So it'd be great to see if she can bring that again. Obviously, Tolo and Cox is going to be a nice matchup again. But I think for me, it's a bit of a, not a blanket kind of perspective, but something I'm always looking at, especially when it's final series, like who of the bench is going to step up. So people like the Abby Werungs and Casey Samuels, who are consistently the best sixth and seventh women in the competition and for Bendigo Spirit, just making sure they're doing little things like sticking to their defensive assignments and trying to get some extra rebounds, because there's always going to be that even added attention to the likes of Burton and Tolo, Whitcomb and Griffin when it comes to these games. And for Townsville, I mean, to be fair to Courtney Woods, she had 13 and 7, which compared to some of the numbers of her regular season wasn't as up there with the best, but she shot beautifully. She shot 80% from the field and 83.3% from the free throw line. So I think Townsville, if they just can keep make sure she is getting touches in scoring positions, she's obviously still going to be quite a focus. But I think for Townsville, Nia Coffey really needs to start getting going a bit more in this game today.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. I knew you'd have it covered. But yeah, Nia Coffey and Lauren Cox for me. So obviously Tolo, and this is what I want to see, I guess, what I'll be watching, being a big myself. Lauren Cox was very quiet in game one, and I'm sure that is because Tolo did a great job defensively on her. But I think players like Lauren Cox and Nia Coffey not having a great start in game one, and especially being in front of their home crowd, will be fired up. And I think we're going to see much bigger numbers from them today.
What do you think the influence of the Townsville crowd is? I mean, we've heard from a lot of players over different times that it's a scary place to play. But I'm curious to get your opinions on how you think that affects the players on the floor.
Yeah, I just, like I said before, I think it's the pride, you know, and the I guess with finals basketball, it's different anyway. There's that adrenaline running, but Jacinta touched on, they're a community-owned team that, like, that whole town is behind them. I think it's there for them to take. And I don't know, I just, as a player, I guess when you've got people screaming for you and, you know, just behind you on every single play, you just don't want to let them down.
And also those cowbells.
And the cowbells, yes.
So, Jacinta, how do you see that crowd feeding into the performance for the guys up there?
Oh, it's undeniable. And I feel like Kerry said, you don't want to let your crowd, you know, your hometown and your home crowd down. But I think it's also a great fuel, especially at a stretch of a game where it can kind of instill this other kind of confidence in a player, knowing it's playoff times, knowing the crowd's behind you. You know, if your legs are already tired, it gives you that little bit of extra boost to think that you can keep going. It gives you that little bit more of a belief and a bit more of a spark to get on the loose balls and to be able to have that belief that you can leave everything out on the floor. I think that's really what the power of a home crowd can do, is kind of give you almost like an extra tank to help your engine keep running.
I'm kind of curious also, what sort of things do you guys reckon are going to be going through both Kennedy's head and Shannon's head as they're prepping for this game, based particularly off the performance from game one? Because I think there was some surprising outcomes from game one, the way the matchups didn't quite go perhaps the way people may have thought they would have gone. So I'm curious to get your opinions on this one.
Yeah, you're right. Like I touched on before, obviously, I think they would have expected to have a much bigger input from Cox and Coffey, Townsville-wise. Bendigo are just so stacked, and I don't mean that in a negative way. They just have so many weapons, like you talked before about Abby Weirung and Casey Samuels, Jacinta, like coming off the bench. You've got so much firepower and energy. But I think for Townsville, they are young and they literally go out with the mindset that when they're on the court, they are going to give 110%. And you'll see them, like, they'll come and ask for subs. Like, they'll go as hard as they can. They know that they've got a deep bench and they'll, you know, they'll just rotate through as they need to and know that every person stepping on the floor knows exactly what they need to do. In terms of the coaches and their focus, I think it'll be, you know, and it sounds really cliche, but that they're so professional and they're so experienced, it'll just be control the controllables. So just do all those little things that we know we can do. And though I think as much as they would have had the scout and all those things, being the grand final series and they've, you know, they've played each other a few times now, they've watched film all season, they know the players quite well. I think it'll be focusing on the controllables and what they're going to do as a team more than what the other team's doing.
Yeah, I think it is certainly a case of controlling the controllables and just mentally trying not to get too far ahead of yourself. It's great for us in a sense that we love finals of basketball and we always know there is this kind of X factor or universal influence of finals basketball that it can go either way and different players are going to have a different, you know, have an opportunity to stand out. I think as a player, you just got to also treat it like a regular game in that sense of trying to remain calm, just staying focused on what the game plan is. And I think from each coach, it's like Kerry was saying, it's going to be quite a specific game plan with obviously other options up their sleeve. But I think they're going to try and keep it super simple. I think both teams are going to have a defensive focus. And I think each team are going to, yeah, just stick to their strengths, stick to their role, but keep it simple in a sense where if something's working, they're just going to keep doing that until it stops working. I don't think they're going to overcomplicate things by throwing in a whole bunch of different new plays and a whole bunch of different new wrinkles and double teaming everything and trapping everything. I think they're just going to do the things that they've always done well. They're going to keep doing that. Maybe throw in a couple of things we haven't seen before, but whatever's working, they'll stick to it and we'll only change it. I think it's going to be a very traditional, clean kind of game of basketball from a coach's perspective in that way.
Now, in terms of key players to keep an eye on, there's the obvious ones, you know, KG23, Sammy Whitcomb from Bendigo, Tolo. Is there anyone else on the Bendigo side that you think that people should keep an eye out for who could maybe try and make a big impact when things sort of get a little bit bogged down? Kerry?
Yeah, the person that's come to mind straight away for me is Kelly Wilson. Mm. I think she hit the first three of the game in game one. I'm not basing this on any fact. I don't have any information, but just thinking about how long she's been playing for, I wonder if she's looking to go out on a high. I'm wondering if this could be her last grand final series. And just her experience and her skill and just probably ability to be calm under pressure. Kelly Wilson's probably one for me that you would have to watch.
So just going back to Casey Samuels for a second, well, I think one of the things that probably a lot of people have been really impressed with is her three-point shooting during the season. How do you see her potentially being able to throw things open with it, with that three-ball shot that she's got, which she seems to be able to take in clutch situations?
Yeah, she's a big-time player. Big-time players step up and make big-time plays. I guess I've also – we had Casey here in NBL 1 Central last season. She was the – Hall's medalist. She was fabulous, but I've also seen her go cold. So it just depends on the day. And she had a really great game one, and I hope that she has a great game two, but I'm not sure on her consistency.
Okay. Now, in the last game, there were some interesting statistics. So Townsville seemed to do better with bench points during that game. Is this something that we think that they're going to have to look to try and leverage again to try and keep themselves into the game, Jacinta?
Yes, definitely. Always, you know, especially finals time. It's easy to say, and you want to keep encouraging that culture and attitude of the bench is equally as important as the starters, which is true, but especially when it comes to finals times, because everything is so, I guess, loaded with a little bit more pressure and unpredictable. I mean, how many times have we seen in final situations where a star player of the team has gotten injured or in foul trouble? And, oh, I mean, you can use the Sydney Flames as a most recent example. Unfortunately, when Shanice Swain went down in the first semi-final, and a lot of the bench players had to be called upon to step up, and they did. So always the bench always have to have a very important role in a final, especially I think when a lot – it's a great opportunity, like when a lot of the focus in finals is going to be on the stars, the bench can come in and take those little loose balls, extra rebounds, be in a good receiver spot because so much focus is elsewhere. So I think the bench for each team is going to be super important, but I'm going to go out on a limb, despite me saying how strong Samuels and Werung are as sixth and seventh players for Bendigo, I think pound for pound, Towns will probably have a stronger bench. I think that's going to be to their advantage if the bench get a big opportunity to play in this series. What do you think, Kerry?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm nodding along, realizing that people listening can't see me. Yes, I absolutely agree with you. And I guess the cool insight that I got with Lauren after the Lightning game earlier in the season was that they have a deep bench and they're all empowered. They know, they have that belief, and they've had that belief all through the season, so even before finals, that anyone can step in at any given time and give the team what it needs. And that can be super powerful to, you know, that you're not only your coach, but your fellow players have that belief in you. So I totally agree with you around Townsville. And it was interesting as well. So this game that I keep referencing, I think is because I was there, but also I just think it's really important, even when I was looking back on what's happened since then for Townsville. So in that game against Adelaide, Coach Shannon Seabom said it was the first game that they'd been playing some good basketball, but it was the first time they'd sort of put four consistent quarters together. And he was really impressed by that. And in that game, they had 23 assists. But in that game one against Bendigo, I think it was 12. It was quite low. So again, that's something I think they'll be focusing on is getting the ball around and playing, you know, their brand of team basketball.
Yeah, I've just got the stats up really quick. You made a good point. It was only 7 assists.
I knew it was low. Thank you.
Seven team assists in grand final one for Townsville. Yeah, so that's a really good point of reflection. I do like that quote from Lauren Cox talking about how every player in the squad, you know, from one to, depending how big the squad is, say 15, 20, has that sense of belief. And it does remind me of when there was the preseason tournament Hoops Fest, where Townsville took their development players and then their train-on squad. And you could even see that they had that sense of belief too. They performed so beautifully at that tournament, and we had a lot of local Queensland kids getting that opportunity and just played like they'd been playing for at that level for a long time. But I mean, Abby Ellis as well is such a testament to that belief that they must have in the bench players, because she started started the season coming off the bench. Mansfield unfortunately had an injury. Abby Ellis stepped up, and then she's been outstanding, you know, well-deserved breakout player of the year.
Yeah. See, the internet's not working with us today because Kerry's dropped off for a reason, but we'll just keep going on this. One of the other interesting stats for me was the points in the paint in that first game. As you'd expect, it was reasonably even given the size of the team. How important do you think it's going to be, the game in the paint?
Yeah, the points in the paint, like you said, was reasonably even, 30 to Bendigo, 36 to Townsville. I think that's still going to be an important factor, because apart from each team having great post players to provide points in the paint, I think they also equally have great guards that like to play with 2 feet in the paint as well, especially on Townsville side. I think that's going to be super important, especially for Townsville players like Courtney Woods. That's going to be important because she's an excellent free throw shooter. So if she's not getting an open shot inside, she's going to the free throw line, hopefully. But I think each team will be looking to improve their 3-point percentage, especially Townsville. And I think, you know, looking at the stats as well from the last game, rebounds were fairly even, as Kerry touched on before. Assists for both teams was actually quite low. Bendigo was only 13 and Townsville was only 7. Yeah, so I would say a fast break points. Bendigo had 14 fast break points to Townsville's 10. But, yeah, I think points in the paint is always going to be a focus for both teams because they can play, yeah, with their post players and with their guards getting on the inside.
One of the things that I was interested in was there was quite a few attempts to steal the ball. A lot went more to from Bendigo's way in that last game. How important do you think it's going to be having some of that hustle to try and steal the ball from the opposition to be able to get themselves some more opportunities to score? Kerry?
Yeah, sorry. Just had slight technical difficulty there. Okay. It's, yeah, really, really important. I think Jacinta touched on the shot percentages were low for both teams. I think Lauren Cox was settling. I think she settled for a few too many three-point attempts and just wasn't her day, her night. So that's something that'll obviously be looking to be improved on today.
What else, in terms of what's going on for this game that we've got coming up, do you see as things that audience needs to be looking out for that maybe, you know, aren't the usual sort of stats and players that we're going to be looking for? What's the X factor?
Well, it's going to be all the things you can't count on a stat sheet. I think rather than going it's always a gamble when you're going for steals, because unless you have the anticipation, you know, a couple of seconds before the pass is made and you can guarantee a steal, I wouldn't be taking any gambles otherwise. You know, you want to be making sure that you're doing those things like having the hand in the passing lane, lots of talk in the second line of your defensive rotation. That's what's going to really put pressure on your opposition, making every shot as difficult as possible, like making your opposition really work for it. So I imagine that the coaches will prefer to have that kind of focus rather than kind of like coughing up steals or trying to tap the ball away, because with the refereeing style in Australia, sometimes putting that little hands-on pressure may also cause some unnecessary or avoidable fouls. So that's one thing, like you were saying, like Kerry was saying before, controlling the controllables. You can control those silly fouls, you know what I mean? You don't want to put your team in an early foul situation, especially in a finals game. So all those things on the stats that you can't see, diving for loose balls, really great lane pressure. I think that's going to, because that mentally puts a lot of pressure on your opposition as well to make sure they're making sound decisions on offense. I think those types of things are going to be really, really important. Ball security, because each team, you know, if you're going to cough up easy turnovers like we've seen, particularly Townsville do sometimes during the season, you're going to get punished. So ball security and I think defensive pressure without fouling are going to be X factors.
Yeah, Jacinta just made a really good point, actually. So game one was very physical. You touched on the refereeing, not to have a go at the refereeing, but just in terms of setting the bar early in terms of the referees. And I wonder if, because game one was so physical, if they might tighten up on that. And then if they tighten up on that in the first few minutes, then the team that's obvious, or both teams, will need to adjust to how the game is being called. But yeah, they're going to be up and in, as we know, you know, a lot of experienced veteran players on the Bendigo side, and that's what they do, is all those things that aren't on the stat sheets. You know, they're up and in, they're pressure, they're doing all those little things off the ball that someone who's sort of not experienced in the game might not see all the time. And I think, again, that's one of Bendigo's many advantages as well, is they have that experience over Townsville. But yeah, the energy is gonna be high.
So not too long before tip off up in Townsville, we did have a bit of a technical issue at the beginning, so I just want to go back and just revisit the fact that, first of all, it's great having Kerry on joining us from South Australia, and also Jacinta being able to join us, particularly given the weather event up in Queensland, which has pretty much made pretty much everything really incredibly difficult to be able to get through. The good thing is, as Jacinta told us, and I'm not sure if you were able to hear it, that she's in a part of Brisbane which is on the high side, so therefore the threat of flooding is nowhere near as significant. But, you know, you were saying, Jacinta, you only just got power back sometime overnight.
Yes, for us here in the suburb I live in, the flooding isn't like as significant where I am because I'm on a hill, but other areas of southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales have been dramatically impacted by flooding. So that's not to say where just because where I am isn't as impacted. There are definitely other areas that are really impacted. But yes, and lots of places in southeast Queensland as far as the Gold Coast also still without power. And I do have a friend who works as a nurse. He's currently working in Tweed Heads and he's been stuck at work for the last 3 days, I think, because of the situation. So, yeah, there's definitely areas that have been devastated. And I know there's a bit of talk online as well about how it was a media beat up, but I don't see people in those areas would see it that way, given that there were football fields that were completely flooded up to the mid of the goalpost and people literally stuck at their workplace and relying on resources of their workplace. So I'm just lucky exactly like particularly immediately where I am, but there are other places that are devastated.
Yeah, and just touching on that, I don't think anybody can actually call that what's happened up there a beat up, you know. It's probably better for the Met Bureau to be a little bit more careful, a little bit more conservative in the warnings that they're giving, just because, you know, let's face it, we saw some people doing some pretty dumb stuff, despite the warnings not to go near the water, not to go near the water's edge. Kerry, look, it's been great having you on, great having you joining us, great being part of this. And also, I believe, I want to give you a bit of a shout out because you're about to start a podcast, I believe. And you want to give us the name of the podcast?
Yes. So thank you again for having me. I've loved being on air with you guys today to talk about the game two of the grand final. Yeah, so it's going to be called the Courtside Coffee Catch-Up. And as I was telling you yesterday, Paul, it's just something that was actually, I can't even take credit for it. It was an idea of my good friend Alan Brown, which I initially said no to, but I loved the concept so much. He's like, Kez, you love basketball. You love coffee and you love a chat, like just go for it. And he obviously knows me well enough to, you know, as much as I love the game, I'm not into all the stats and results and things like that. I would much rather be talking to people about their journey and their backstory and what they love about the game. And I'm lucky enough to also have an amazing cohort of women from the Marjorie Jackson Nelson Women in Sport program that I did last year. So also going to be doing a South Australian Women in Sport series as well, which I'm really excited about.
Fantastic. Guys, thanks so much for your input and for your expert opinion. Can't wait to watch this game. And I think it's going to be a really amazing game to watch. Thanks so much for your time. And it's been great having you here. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.